Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're going to start with some current events. I don't know what's wrong with this world, but it's just getting worse and worse and crazier and sicker by the day. The current events, and you know I rail against a lot of things that that I'm very upset about. And unfortunately, this is why you just have to be so, so careful when you do anything. I just had a client here with a really sweet, adorable dog named Jeter, who is a chocolate lab, probably God knows what else in him, but he's a really great dog. And I actually kept him at my house because my farm is having some renovations right now. And the ladies, they're lovely people, but it was one of those things where she said, oh, there's a guy and he has a farm, and a lot of people I know have said, you know, it's a good place. But you got to think about a place for your dog. It's like your child. Something might be great, and you might say, oh, you know, my daughter loved this camp. It's the best camp in the world, and it's a rocket camp, and she wants to play with Barbie dolls. See, don't always just go by what you hear and people saying, oh, yeah, you know, this was great. Yes, I have a Rottweiler. Oh, my friend has a German Shepherd. Well, if you have a fearful dog, the dogs that are going to be more dominant are not going to require the same type of training and the same type of, you know, of background because they're different. So you really got to think. And unfortunately, this is why I rant and rail all the time, you know, with people. Just make sure you check where your dog is going and check to make sure that your dog is happy there. If you have a fearful dog or a very sensitive dog, or you have a dog who's, you know, really bonded, super, super bonded to you, you know, you've got a different type of dog than somebody who has a dog who's, you know, more outgoing or more friendly. Well, unfortunately, and one of my good friends, Kathy, actually shared Fox Chicago News, which had a very, very disturbing, and I mean beyond disturbing, about a man who was charged with molesting a puppy, a man in southwestern Illinois. And he molested a female Rottweiler puppy. I don't even want to know what he did, but we can imagine. And apparently what happened was the dog became so aggressive, this puppy, and I don't even know how old the puppy was, but it was, you know, a youngish female Rottweiler puppy, and he sexually molested it. So basically the dog was so abused that it was so aggressive with everybody that it had to be euthanized. And, I mean, this is beyond sick, and this is why I talk about it all the time, about please make sure that, you know, you use your common sense. And, you know, unfortunately, you have people who, you know, go on, and like you've seen people who are abusive to animals, who can become abusive to humans. I mean, that's where most sociopaths start their behaviors. They don't start with, you know, serial killing. They, as kids and young adults, they do these kind of sick, perverse behaviors. So, I mean, if somebody could do something horrible like that, you know, you don't know who this person is. And I think the person just from the mugshot looks, I mean, I don't think too many people could miss this guy. But everybody out there isn't nice. I try to always teach my nephews, you know, just because people seem nice doesn't mean they are nice, honey. You got to always be aware that people can say nice things. They can be very pretty or very handsome. People don't always have inside what they look like outside. And that's why I'm a big fusspot about making sure that I check criminal backgrounds on any of our volunteers at Merlin's Kids or United Canine Professionals. And I'm very, very careful when I have even somebody coming to our farm, we run criminal background checks. Because once somebody comes out to our farm, I don't, you know, at that point they know where my special needs kids might be. And they know where the dogs might be. So I want to at least make sure. And it's a very, very rare occasion when someone says, oh, well, I really don't want to give you a copy of the ID. I don't need the ID, but it shows people's good faith. So what happens is you have somebody like this sicko in Illinois who does that. And not only that, now you've got copycats who are going to be perhaps doing something evil because now they're saying, oh, gee, I never thought of being sick and perverse with an animal like that. Gee, I could do that. That's what's scary. is these people are walking around. And one of the comments on the Facebook line that I have been following, you know, on that thread has been about bestiality actually being, for whatever reason, legal in more states than is marijuana. I mean, that's pretty crazy. So being an animal abuser is apparently better and less offensive than smoking marijuana. Now, I don't do drugs or anything. I don't need them. I don't know. I mean, I don't understand why people do, but that's fine. I don't want to make a judgment on that. But I will make a judgment on molesting and abusing a puppy or a child or, you know, anybody without permission. And obviously animals cannot give permission. So this is really disturbing. And this in the light of all the other things going on in the news right now about people just ripping each other off with fake service dogs and ripping people off with, you know, different, like, things that they're doing where, you know, there was just one another one where there was a, I just got a phone call a few days ago, a family who purchased a dog in California that was supposedly service dog trained. The woman called me, lovely, lovely lady. She said she's part of a class action suit because they're apparently this company had only placed three or four dogs, and all three or four dogs were not trained and were not house trained and had issues, many behavioral issues. And, you know, she's part of a class action lawsuit. But this, whoever it is who's doing these fake dogs out in California getting $15,000 each for them, is all they have to do is change their name. And how many people even heard about that? I wouldn't have known except that this woman had called me. So you just have to do due diligence on that. You just got to check. And even, you know, we're big on rescues. Everybody who knows me knows I, although I do breed champion and grand champion Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and yes, Wyatt is an amazing show dog, but the goal is not to just breed to make money. It's always to breed to better the breed. If you're not going to make something better, then don't do it. So the option is, and I talk about this in my new book, which is really awesome and is just literally ready to come out. I have my sections already, and editor is busy at work. Probably won't find too much wrong with it, but hopefully she does. And when that book is out, it talks a lot about fear. It talks about the reasons. It talks about the psychology of things, not just, hey, you know, do this because my grandfather did it, and not just, you know, hey, do this because I wear my hair in a really tight bun and have an accent. It's, hey, this is why you do it. Not for any other reason. There's no little trick. It's just a very simple thing. And that's the biggest issue, is making sure that whoever you are following and whatever you are following is going to make sense for your dog. So if somebody's a police dog trainer and you have a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd, you know, that's probably fine because the Rottweiler or the German Shepherd, you know, is that type of a temperament that a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them can handle that kind of training. But don't do that on a Ridgeback. Don't do that on a Hound. Certainly don't do it on a dog who's not a dominant dog at all or a confident dog because you're going to create so many more issues. So check people out. And we're going to be actually talking in just a moment with our favorite rescue in the whole world, which is 11th Hour Rescue here in New Jersey and all over the East Coast, who saves amazing dogs from death and rehabilitates them. We're going to talk with her a little bit about how they check people out to make sure that they don't get somebody like this sicko in that we talked about earlier. So please stay tuned. It's going to be a fun show. Learn a lot. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044 and tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And as promised, we have our incredible favorite guest from Rescues, which is Kelly from 11th Hour Rescue. And today we're going to have Kelly give us, of course, our featured pets, as we always do, but we also want to make sure that we ask Kelly, how do they screen for people to make sure you don't have somebody who's an animal abuser or you have somebody who's going to take the dog to pit bull fights and be a bait dog? Kelly, welcome to the show. We love you.
Hi, I love you too.
So tell me a little bit. I want to definitely talk about some of the dogs you have featured, but I know you guys really do it right, and you are our favorite rescue, and I'm not just saying that, because you really do everything right, and your people, and like when I came over and helped you guys, and you're all trying to implement the strategies to be able to help these dogs better. There's no egos. There's nobody, you know, like, oh, don't do it that way. Do it this way. They're all just the nicest, best people in the world. How do you first of all screen for volunteers? That was a question I had.
Well, it's similar to the adoption application. They have to give us references, their home address, like, and of course, you know, I always Zillow to make sure that everything's legit. And we call them, we speak to them. They have to come to a meeting. If they want to go to the kennel, they have to go to a class. Like, we have all these stops along the way. So if there's a red flag, we know before they're even getting to our dogs. You know what I mean?
Awesome. So what percentage of people do you pass through and say, yes, you're okay, we will let you adopt one, versus how many do you wind up not giving to for one reason or another?
I'd say if we do, let's say, 100 applications a week, let's just say, we probably deny 30.
Oh, wow. Yes. So a substantial amount.
Yes.
So what would some of the things be why you would obviously deny, you know,
if
ownership?
I call your vet and they have, you tell me, oh, this is the vet I use, this is the dog that I have, and the vet says, I have no idea who that is, I'll call you back and say, okay, well, you know, maybe there was a mistake, your vet didn't know you, blah, blah, and then they'll either say, like, oh, well, here's a different number, where is that number? That's a red flag for me. I'm not going to give you a dog if that's weird, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, I do that with my puppies, too, where I call the vets and I call two references. And, you know, and I tell people, I really am going to call to make sure they're good people that are going to give you a good reference.
Right, absolutely. But, you know, we're very lucky, like the vets and the vet staff. And often, I got to be honest with you, people's friends and family members are honest, too. Like, I always tell them in advance, like, I've signed something. So if you tell me about the application, something negative, I legally can't repeat it. I've signed that I won't disclose your information. So if you tell me, like, you know, Sue Smith, who I know, let's say I call you for a reference and you say, you know what, I don't think Sue's that great to her dog. I'll deny to, we never give the reason for denial. And the reason we do that is so they don't change it for the next rescue.
Ah, that's very clever.
We will not disclose the reason we've denied. And people get upset, of course, but I don't want you to go somewhere else and change that.
Right. No, and that's true. And that's the difference with the rescues. What's the limit on, you know, before we continue, what's the limit of distance that you'll adopt a dog to somebody? Like within an hour,
we,
or 2 hours?
Actually, Linda, who founded our rescue, she has had a foster that she loved who was a little bit difficult. And we found the fit for him in, I want to say it was Wyoming. So what happened, the woman called, we sent volunteers to her home in Wyoming. And we spoke with her, they met her, that it was like multiple meet and greets and everything like that. And we keep in touch with her. We did an adoption in Wyoming, but we were on site.
Right. Yeah.
You know what
like
I mean?
With United Canine Professionals, we have people in 37 states. So
right.
We have, it's not like you're just in one place. So you do adopt out.
Oh, no, we actually sent our New Jersey volunteers out.
You do? Can
yes.
I go?
We actually sent them out. Like, they volunteered and they went. We actually had New Jersey volunteers go to Wyoming and walk the property, look at the house, talk to her, have dinner with her, stay with her, do the meet and greet, like things like that. And then they left with the dog, and then they went back and met her again with the dog. Like, it, we, like, our New Jersey volunteers went there.
Wow. And they had to pay for the tickets themselves?
Nope. The woman paid for the fee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go. Somebody wants
yeah,
to pay my
fee. Yeah, I know.
You got anybody who needs to go to, like, a dog in Hawaii or something?
No, I wish, right? No, but
you and
that's
I can
not
go that.
Very often that. I mean, that was, like, a special instance. So I'd say most of the farthest our dogs normally go is Rhode Island.
Very cool.
You know?
Very cool. So can you give me some of the questions and the kind of the silly things that tend to happen?
Like, what do you mean? For, like, when I would deny somebody or when
well,
there would
no,
be a question?
No, I don't want you to give up your secrets, but, like, if, like, what kind of questions? I know what we have for Merlin's kids, but, you know, we always obviously check it out. We want to know if there are other pets in the area.
Right.
You know, where they live. Do you have a fenced yard?
Right.
What are some of the things that people might not realize that are important in order for them to have a dog? Like, what do you think, you know, like having
well,
a fenced
I
yard
don't,
versus...
I don't want... Okay, first of all, if it's a puppy, a normal working shift of 8 hours is too long. A puppy can't be alone 8 hours a day. That's what we, you know what I mean? Like, so
yeah.
If you're going to bring somebody in or you're going to stop in at lunch, that's cool with us. But a regular dog can be alone 8 hours. People work, you know what I mean? People work 8, 9 hours. But if you tell me, oh, my dog's going to be alone 14 hours a day and you have no intention of bringing somebody in, I won't give you a dog.
But if somebody says it's less and you can call, do you call their workplace or anything?
No, we don't call work, but we speak to enough people. They have to, it can't be like their mom and their sister that we call. It
right.
Has to be somebody, like, you know what I mean? Like, legit. And you know what happens? I'm sure you do this too. We get them on the phone and we start the dialogue. And sometimes you're on the phone with one applicant for an hour. But in that hour, they've told you 15 things that are important to you. You know
right.
what I mean? Or I'll test people. I'll be like, so, I mean, you know, you're going to leave your dog in the yard, right, when you're not home? And if they say, yeah, I'm like, yeah, you can't have one.
I do that, too. That's great. I'll say you're not going to let your dog sleep on the furniture, are you? And they go, I was going to. Okay, good.
Right, right.
But a lot of people say, oh, no, I don't let my dogs, you know, I'm not going to let them in, you know, on my bed. And that's fine.
Right.
You don't have to have, like, if you have a big husky shepherd mix, I don't know that I'd have them in my bed either.
Right.
I do sleep with all my Ridgebacks and my Beagle and my little mixed breed, but, no, I could definitely understand that. But like, do you adopt dogs out to people in apartments and things like that?
We do adopt out to people in apartments because some people in apartments are great owners. When my husband and I got our first dog, we were in an apartment, and we were awesome owners. So that's fine, but we'll talk to you. We have to speak to the landlord, and if it's your family member, we have to speak to them, and they have to come for the meet and greet. We have to have a conversation with the landlord. We have to see your lease. You know what I mean? Things like that. So it's not – because you know as well as I do, like, you could be cutting out great homes if you cut out apartments.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. I got some other things I want to ask you, but, of course, we're going to be coming up on a hard break in a moment. But I want everybody out there to think about the things that are important to them and important to your great dog that you have at home. And also knowing where do you turn when you have a problem? when you have a rescue like 11th Hour, or, you know, there are a few real good rescues out there that are really terrific. When you have a great rescue, you have support. You have a family structure. If you have a problem and you call, they're not going to say, oh, well, you're on your own. They're going to follow through on that dog, like I followed through on my Rhodesian Ridgeback puppies, which, by the way, I have like two that I have to still find suitable homes for before I start hitting my list. But it's really important to know that dogs are for a lifetime. They're not a gift. They're a gift for a lifetime, not for one time and like, oh, here it is. So we're going to come back with Kelly in a little bit from 11th Hour Rescue. Stay tuned. We got right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and the inimitable Kelly from 11th Hour Rescue. So, Kelly, tell us a little bit about what happens with your dogs when once, let's say somebody has a dog and they have, you know, behavioral issue or they have a problem. What do you do after that initial time?
Okay, well, there's a clause in our contract that if for any reason you want to give the dog back to us, you legally have to give it back to us. We don't want our dogs going anywhere else. So if you call me, unfortunately, 10 years from now, and you want to return your dog who's now a senior, it has to come to us. You know what I mean? But people call once in a while and they'll say, listen, like, I'm having issues with this dog. I don't know. And we have a trainer that we employ full time. And she'll call them, we'll call them. Whoever returns the file, like, if I return the initial call, I'll just say, like, hey, you know what? If it's something I've experienced before, I've experienced A, B, and C. Like, have you tried this? Or have you maybe tried a better diet? You know, things like that. But we hold their hand the whole way.
Right. So what kind of things are there that, you know, that you're typically hearing? You know, what are, like, some of the common things if you do get a dog back?
Okay. Not getting along with the other dog in the house.
Okay.
You know, this, unfortunately, like, oh, the dog doesn't like my child, and then you come to find out that the child really wasn't being that nice to the dog. You know what I mean? Like, things like that. It's not very often, though. I don't want to make it sound like it's often. It's not too often. It's just that those are some of the things. Or, sometimes things happen.
Right.
Most of our adopters are amazingly wonderful, and we're lucky to have them, and I love them. But sometimes you get somebody who doesn't want to put in the effort. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. And typically...
Separation anxiety, sometimes that's a reason for return, you know?
How often do you have that happen? Like, what's the rate?
I'll tell you what, I adopted a dog who has separation anxiety, and you know this, I've told you this a million times, like, and some of the stuff you've told me has really helped us. We're at a point where we can now leave for, like, 6 or 7 hours, which I gotta be honest is a blessing. So, I'd say maybe out of every 100 dogs, maybe 2 or 3. Quite a few.
Yeah, but it's really kind of cool because obviously you're doing, 3,500, 4,000 dogs a year.
Right.
That's a lot of dogs to,
yeah,
to have a very small.
Yeah, it's not very often that they have bad separation anxiety that affects people's lives, but it does happen.
Right. Well, then I know you guys are good about that, and you know, you take care of things and you call back. And
yeah. You know what's funny, though? Most of the time when the dogs go into foster, if the dog is really difficult, the foster winds up adopting
Because it's just,
isn't that funny?
That's what happens. You know how that is. Like, you just, we're just, like my dog, I'm just like, who am I going to give this dog to? I can't unleash this dog.
So, yeah, well, that I could definitely do that. And I think that's where, you know, you get a lot of people who are out there who say, you know, like, oh, I really love this dog. And the one lady I had talked to, she had a foster for 4.5 years. And I said to her, I said, well, I guess you adopted him. No, he's still a foster, but he's still got the same issues he came with. And I was kind of like, if you've had this dog for 4.5 years and haven't fixed it yet.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I agree. You're right. We should be proactive.
It's adoption, sweetie.
Yeah.
It is definitely adoption at that point, you know.
Yeah.
But so what kind of things, let's say we talked a little bit about common problems. Tell me about some of the dogs that are hardest. And I know we've spoken about this in previous times that we've spoken, but what is, like, the most common reasons that people give up a dog or that people, you know, and
I would say resource guarding is a big one. Surrender,
okay,
surrenders and returns, resource guarding is a big one.
Okay, and that's where I come over and help you.
Yes, that's right. That's when, like, we only somebody like you is going to fix that. Like, you cannot be a normal person and really fix resource guarding.
Wait, like, are you insinuating I'm not normal?
Yes.
That's
but
absolutely
in a good
right.
Way.
I, you know, I deal with all the special needs kids and special needs dogs, and I always joke about it. You're either special or you're boring. There's no normal. Normal is boring, and I'll be anything but boring. But, so, yeah, and a lot of times I think also people don't realize when they adopt from certain rescues, and we love all rescues. I mean, everybody who's trying, but what I've learned is there's just so many rescues out there. And I hear, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, we rescued this dog. And, you know, the dog, it's got all these issues, and the rescue said, sorry, we can't help you. And but yet you can't have to return it to the rescue, but the rescue won't take the dog back.
That's horrible. I honestly, like, I'm sorry, but I think that's shameful.
It is. I think so. I mean, it's kind of a scary thing in a way, because you don't realize how, you know, unfortunately, the
wouldn't you want to care about that dog until it's forever, until it's ending? Why
yeah.
would you not want to care until the dog's ending? Like, that's, I don't just care about the dog's adoption. I care about the dog until the dog passes away, hopefully from natural causes.
Very old.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, what's also, I think, really important for people to know is when you get a dog, it's a great idea to have somebody like, you know, our people at United Canine Professionals who are really trained behaviorists to help you pick the dog out. I recently had, this is in the last week, I had two separate families, and I don't get a lot of this because nobody ever really calls me and goes, hi, Janice, I got the best dog in the world. Can you come visit? You know, they call like, hi, my dog just bit my kid in the face. Hi, my dog just tripped my mother down the stairs. You know, hi, my dog just attacked the neighbor's dog, the neighbor's kid, the neighbor's,
right.
You know, it chases cars, it runs out the door, it, you know, attacked the mailman, it's destroying the moldings. So when I get, you know, two calls in a week, it just was, you know, you get that warm, fuzzy feeling. I got two phone calls from people, and one of them I'm bringing over to you, by the way, because that was one of the things I was going to discuss with you.
Yay.
But they wanted to get a dog, and they're really neat people. They're really serious, and they really wanted to do it right. They said, you know, we know who you are, and, you know, we follow you, and, you know, fortunately or not, a lot of people know who I am. Not that I'm anybody, but, you know, I'm unfortunately pretty well-known with dogs. And they said, you know, we were wondering if we could have you come with us. We would go and interview the dogs and kind of pick a few different dogs. And I said, oh, you got to go to 11th Hour because they've got a lot of dogs and they really stand behind the dogs. So we're going to go over one day and we're going to go through applications and they're going to have me help them temperament test the dog.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah, well, I do get people periodically, but I got like two people in like 2-day period, which is kind of unusual.
Right.
And one of the things I think that's really, you know, really kind of important is for people to understand to make informed decisions. Don't just go and say, oh, that's really cute. You should be thinking, you know, first of all, thinking, you know, hey, this dog is, you know, is a puppy. Where am I going to be in a year or 2 or 5 years? Where am I going to be? Are we going to have kids? Is it a good idea to get a really hyper dog when we're trying to get pregnant now? So it's really thinking about not just now, like, oh, we live in apartments, that's fine, but how about where are you going to live? So if you have a high-energy dog and you're in the apartment and you're thinking, oh, in 5 years it'll be fine, but you're going to be in an apartment for 5 years. So it's really thinking now and into the future as far as where are you going to be, what stage of your life are you going to be in, and how is that dog going to grow with you, hopefully, or apart from you? So we're going to go through with Kelly in just a moment about some adoptable dogs all over the place that are just amazing, and 11th Hour stands behind them, and you guys, anybody who adopts one of these dogs based on today's show gets a 50% discount for behavioral work with any of us in United Canine Professionals. So listen up to these dogs if you're looking for a new family member. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf and Kelly from 11th Hour Rescue. So we're talking about some adoptable dogs. Everybody, hey, all my clients, all you guys who've been saying, hey, I think it's about ready. I'm about ready to have a dog or get a second dog. What's a great, great idea for you guys? Kel, you know, listen, a lot of people have a dog already, and I've seen people do this where they go and they bring the family to meet the dog. And they don't bring the dog to meet the new dog, and that's the one who's going to be in charge. So what do we do?
What did you say to me? I couldn't hear you. Broke up.
Well, you know, people, I have people all the time who are saying, you know, they want to go and, you know, and get a dog, but they bring their family to meet the new dog at the shelter or the rescue. And they don't bring the dog they already have.
Oh, no, you can't leave with the dog then. You have to bring your dog. You have to bring every dog in the house. The only time we made an exception, I must say, in the years I've been doing this, I made one exception. The woman said that her dog was too afraid to leave the house, and he had bad anxiety, and the vet even diagnosed him via FaceTime. So I called the vet, and the vet said, I'm telling you, that's a great dog. It gets along with other dogs. I've met him. I've been to the house. The dog cannot leave the house. And I said, okay.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I guess that's good that you guys are, you know, really looking at the dogs the way the dogs are and, you know, really investigating it. And that's really great. It's funny, a lot of the shelters, I mean, the rescues, when people go to a rescue, I think it's a different type of person. who goes to a rescue versus a shelter. Because I've seen people, you know, like young pretty girl, and she looks like the nicest girl in the world. And meanwhile, you go and you look out in the parking lot and you see a nasty-looking guy who looks like a pit bull fighter, and he sends her in. I don't think at the rescues these people try, because people tend to know, you know, hey, you know, you're working with a rescue, they're going to check you out. Versus some of the southern shelters, I mean, they don't, you know, it's $35 adoption fee, here you go. And, you know, God knows what these poor dogs are going to go through. I bet you, I'd love to know where this female Rottweiler, who I started out talking about at the beginning, this pup, I'm sure this guy didn't go spend $2,500 from a show dog, from a breeder, or go to a rescue. I'm sure he probably went to, you know, some local shelter up there and, you know, just got this dog. And, I mean, it's just sick. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff I always think about, you know, where do these people come from? And, you know, when you have a dog, it's already been through a lot by the time it gets to the shelter or rescue. So we don't want the dog to keep being traumatized, you know, even if it's like sometimes people say, oh, you know, I didn't want to do that, you know. And we actually have a program that our own Becca Steinbach created, I believe, in high school or early in college. And we're going to be bringing that program out. And it's for people who want to see, you know, is my family ready for a dog? And that people can, you know, have dogs kind of short term to be able to determine, like, hey, yeah, you know, this is good, or, you know, oh, wow, I didn't realize how much it was going to restrict us. But they'd almost be like foster families, but they'd have that option to adopt. And I think that's a really interesting concept, and Beck is awesome. I also want a quick shout out to Casey Butler, who is in charge right now of our work at the Calais School, Therapeutic Facilitation and Behavioral Intervention. She's listening right now, probably smiling as she's driving and watching the lacrosse game. But we love her. We have, as you guys have, some really, really incredible people in our groups. And I just think it's so, so important to share the information. And that's why I love, like, the open relationship that you guys have with us and a lot of the other, you know, great groups out there who really, really want to learn. Because the problem is, this sicko who probably got that dog at a shelter, his name should be somewhere. And, yes, they should ask for ID. And, yes, you should have to prove who you are.
Agreed.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
But these are lives. And I, you know, if we were sharing on a database, where, you know, people who, like, do not adopt to and checking addresses and checking references, if everybody did that, you know, we wouldn't have all the problems we do. But the problem is, it's like there's so many different rescues and nobody has any kind of uniformity because everybody wants to be in charge of a group instead of hooking up with, like, an awesome group like 11th Hour, which already has the contact and has the great behaviorists and trainers and volunteers and fosters. So think about that.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I actually belong to a secret Facebook group called Do Not Adopt, and
awesome.
It's about, I'd say, 60 rescues from the tri-state area, and we post the people we wouldn't adopt to, and we put them on a list and cross-reference them in our rescue group's program in the computer so a flag comes up when the person applies.
You know, that's awesome. And I would like to put on, if we can get Merlin's kids involved with that.
Yes.
Because I think, you know, we're all over the place, and you guys have gotten really, really big. And that's wonderful, because I remember you guys when you started out.
Yeah.
You have just, you know, Linda and you, and just, I mean, everybody at 11th Hour is amazing. And I really want everybody to understand, you know, when you get a dog, you have that responsibility. And you have that responsibility, you know, like I said, not just for a day, not just for a week. It's for a lifetime, and you know, when you get these people, and it's so cool that you have that list, you know, but it's so cool that we can hopefully prevent dogs from having to go through anything, you know, bad, or just even changing homes. It's like kids in the foster care system. They have so many more behavioral issues because they just don't feel grounded. They don't feel like they can count on even where they're going to go or be, and that's one of the things that I've got to admit, with the show dogs, when I have my Ridgebacks and I send them out, and I'm very careful with whom I send them, but, I mean, every single time I've sent my dogs out, with somebody who I trusted after a long time, and I do allow them to finally take my dogs. My dogs come out, it's like they went to college, and they're more social, and my dogs are pretty social to start with. But, you know, it's a good thing for them to be able to get out, but not to have different techniques, you know, where you have somebody who's a yeller and a screamer and a husband who's abusive, or, you know, a person who, you know, is feeding garbage food and, you know, keeping the dog in the crate all day long. And then it goes to another house that's a different situation, and then another one that's a different situation. And it's great to know that, you know, that there are people out there like Kelly and Linda and 11th Hour who are, you know, looking out for the dogs. So, Kelly, tell me, let's talk about the first dog, because I can rant all day long, as you know, and you can too, so that could be dangerous.
I know. I love
tell
it.
Me
You're
about
not
your first
complaint
dog.
For me. I know.
Tell me about the first dog we're going to talk about. We have about a minute.
I think we should talk about Benny. He is a little long-haired chihuahua, and he just went into foster. He just got here like 2 weeks ago, and he's perfect, and he even loves cats.
Oh, my Lord. That's wonderful.
I know.
So tell me about Benny. He's a little long-haired
he's
chihuahua.
He's 2 years
what color?
Old. He's a little long-haired chihuahua. What's funny, though, is that he looks like a miniature Shiba Inu. He's, like, so funny. He has, like, cute little ears, and you know what I mean? Like, and he's small. I think he's only 8 or 9 pounds.
Awesome. How
and,
old?
And he's fantastic because we had such a great foster in Georgia who you actually may know because she knows Erin.
Oh.
And she's fantastic. And she everybody who goes through her, she introduces to her cats, and she either tells us, oh, heck no, or yes. So Benny was like, yes, he loves cats.
Aw. So how old is Benny, and what color is Benny?
He's 2, and he's like a pretty tan beige color.
Awesome. Well, he sounds adorable. We're going to have to find
great.
An adopter for Benny because he's a good dog. So this is a dog, a no-brainer like you and I call him.
Yep, that was a no-brainer.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to come back with a bunch more dogs that are up for adoption through 11th Hour Rescue. Stay tuned.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love
food. Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And a quick shout out to the inimitable future Dr. Jody Joseph, who listens to every show and is working very hard and assiduously to make sure that she'll be able to help dogs with cancer and other issues like that. Jody, keep studying. We need you, girl. Back to the wonderful Kelly from 11th Hour Rescue with some adoptable dogs. So let's see what else we've got. We've got Benny, who I want to adopt him already. He sounds
I know,
so
he's
cute.
You want me to give you a little bit tougher one?
Yeah, give me a couple of them.
I know those are your favorite.
You got 8 minutes really. To pick whatever, as many dogs as you want to tell us about.
So we have Silas, and we got Silas in, like, January, and we had him for about a month. He's an eight-year-old chocolate lab, and we loved him, and he's fantastic, and he was thriving. We adopted him out, so in, like, February. Last week, they called us, the family, and said that he was growling and nipping and hates the babysitter.
And we were like, okay. So our trainer called him, spoke to him. They refused to keep him. They returned him. They didn't want to work it out. He came back, and he seems nice still.
Well, I would first check to see about the babysitter.
That's what we were wondering.
I trust my dog.
Yeah.
If my dogs don't like someone, they're
mm-hmm.
the reason. So, all right, here with Silas. And if anybody adopts Silas, you've got a lifetime guarantee, half price. Or if you adopt Benny. So Silas sounds like a nice dog. How long do they have him?
They had him since February, and it's July.
So it's a while. Now, sometimes it does take time for things to happen, but if somebody wants to make a commitment to Silas,
yeah.
I will make a commitment to help him with the new family. So please, anybody who's interested, there's an 8-year-old chocolate lab. Maybe you already have a lab. Does he get along with other dogs? And
he does like other dogs, yes.
So awesome. So somebody who's interested and wants to get another dog but maybe doesn't want to make the commitment of 10 or 12 or 15 years, you got an 8-year-old dog. You might only have 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and you'll have a great dog, and you'll be able to save him and give him a great home. Awesome. So we got Benny and Silas. Give me another one, Kelly.
All right, now I'll give you Excelsis. She's beautiful. She's about 3 or 4. She's a border collie. She's a big, fluffy border collie. She's really pretty. And she is terrified of people until she knows them. It doesn't take forever, but it may take a visit or two for somebody to know her. And she does not take well to somebody she meets immediately off the bat.
Okay.
But once she does, she's fine with you.
Okay. And how old is she?
She's, I'd say, 3 or 4. I'll have to check the records.
Okay, great. So that's a 3 or 4-year-old border collie. Purebred, sounds like, huh?
I don't know that. I mean, obviously, there's no way for me to know that, but she's pretty. She's a pretty fluffy girl.
Wow.
She's pretty.
All right. So somebody who might have a little bit more land and might have, sheep to herd or, other animals that they want to
yes.
keep, would be great. Give her a little job. Somebody who wants to do fly ball or agility.
Oh,
or
she
any
would
kind
love
of racing, that.
That
kind of stuff where we do, like, lure coursing. If that sounds good. And these dogs also typically, like, border collies. It's funny. I was just at a border collie last night. A lot of times these dogs also are very good at rally obedience because they like to focus. They'll, like, stare at things. Now, one of the big things I want to mention not to do with a herding breed is make sure you don't use laser pointers, because a lot of people use the laser pointers with these dogs, and the dogs actually end up being, kind of funky with things, like they get hyper-vigilant over things. They're always looking for something. So, that's not a good idea to do, but there's so much fun stuff you can do with border collies, man. They're awesome. So we have Excelsis. That's another one, and I want Benny. Okay, and so let's go into another dog.
Okay, we have Jackson. I'm just giving you ones that have a little bit of issues because those are the ones we like to talk about.
Awesome.
We have Jackson, who's a yellow lab. He's about 2, and he's really cute, but he really doesn't like children. He's never been close enough to hurt one, but I fear that he would.
Okay, so that's a dog that's probably lacking a little bit of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And, listen, not all adults like children.
Right.
And it's funny because you had, you have Ebenezer Scrooge was a good friend to his adult friends, but,
yes.
He wasn't a real fan of Christmas until he changed. So that's the kind of thing that obviously you want to adopt it to a family that doesn't have little kids, but we would want to work, and I will volunteer to work with that one, whoever adopts that one, because oftentimes these dogs who aren't good with kids are just afraid of kids. That's usually fear issues. Because maybe they were either abused by a child or just frightened by a child or whatever. So, all right, great. And he's how old? You said he's about 2, 3?
Yeah, he's about 2 or 3.
Okay, awesome. And he's a yellow?
He's a yellow lab.
Awesome. Okay, let's get another one.
All right, let's talk about Barrett. When we got Barrett, he was emaciated. His skin was so bad. It was awful. I mean, it was just, he had no fur. And he was nursed back to health by his foster, and he was doing well. And then I guess as soon as he was like 100% in the home, he got jerky, and he started biting. And they returned him, and now we have him. He's like I'd have to show you the picture. He's almost maybe like a white lab pear.
Ooh, pretty.
He's beautiful, and now he has all his fur, but he just is, I don't know where he came from, you know what I mean? So I don't know what his background was like, but he just... But he loves some people, but he's iffy, you know?
So he might be a good dog for, let's say, for a veteran or for somebody who has more limited lifestyle.
Yes.
But, of course, again, we can still fix that and work with the dog. It's just we always think at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids, if we have a dog and it starts out somewhere, there is always the potential, if everything happened the wrong way, for that still to come back. So, obviously, we don't want to adopt a dog who hates children with children because I don't trust kids around dogs. And you notice how I said that. I did not say it the other way. I said I don't trust kids around dogs. So, all right, so that sounds, Barrett sounds interesting, too. But is he nippy with everyone or just, like, other people who come in?
You know, I'd have to talk to the volunteers who work with him the most. I'm pretty sure it's just certain people.
Okay, and he might be a very good judge of character.
That's true.
And, you know,
that
another
is true.
Thing that happens sometimes when dogs growl at a particular person, and I know Casey Butler and all of our people in the cancer detection program, which we have 24 people that just are graduating hopefully very soon from our cancer detection and service dog training programs. A lot of times a dog will be able to smell something like a person who has cancer, a person has like a health issue. And if they're smelling something and they, let's say somebody had cancer or somebody had Lyme disease, some dogs will react to it by being aggressive because they don't know that smell. So sometimes a dog who's funky with one or two people, it can be that that person has some kind of illness and the dog is telling them. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And before we do our last dog, I want to tell everyone, call 855, the number 4, K9PROS. If you need any help, we have a free helpline, free behavioral helpline. We will give you a consultation by phone, no time limit, and we can help you. So before you think about giving up a dog, please call us and we will help you. And we're also starting our new classes for United Canine Professionals for the therapeutic facilitation, behavioral intervention, cancer detection, and all the other amazing things we do to rehabilitate dogs and give them new jobs. Kelly, let's get a quick one. Give me another quick one.
All right, I'll give you an easy one. We also have Joey. He's a 12-week-old Shih Tzu mix, and he's coming this weekend, and he's been in foster in the South, and he loves to snuggle even with cats.
Oh, boy. So that's cute. And he's young, too?
Yeah, he's 12 weeks.
12 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's pick up that puppy, Joey.
Yeah.
That sounds way cute. I have little 12-week-old Ridgeback puppies, and I'll bet that little Joey's just
beautiful.
A munchkin.
Yeah.
Aw. Well, Kelly, I can't believe we're, like, already out of time, but I thank you so much for all of your knowledge and for sharing
thank
all
you.
Of the
wonderful
things
you. Thank
you.
You're the best. We love you so much.
Well, we love you, and I will see you guys in the next week or two over at your
Yay.
Place in Jersey, and we'll do some more training sessions. I'm very psyched. I love you guys. And, you know, to all of our listeners, you know, just keep in mind, if you want to go to a breeder, a legitimate show breeder, that's cool. That's what I am. But, you know, if you're going to start with getting a dog out, you know, one of these designer dogs, why don't you just contact 11th Hour Rescue? What's your website, Kelly?
www.ehrdogs.org.
So 11th Hour Rescue.
They can go on, and then they can email... The number and the email and everything is right on there. They can contact any of us. It'll most likely be me that gets back to them.
Aw, awesome. Well, thank you so much. And adopt. Stop supporting puppy mills who are mixing mixed breed dogs and, you know, a lot of them not healthy when you can get a great dog through 11th Hour or one of the other wonderful rescues out there. Thank you all. Have a wonderful week.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.